Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel again overturns the wisdom of the world. The world seeks glory and honor, comfort and success. The Christian simply seeks Christ. The world seeks to get ahead by living according to the law. The Christian understands that the law of God will never get us ahead, but instead drives us down further and further, down to the bottom where we offer God nothing and receive all things from Him for free. And it's there that we can only begin to truly serve our neighbor in love, which is the fulfillment of the law. The people of the world run after first place for their own gratification. Christians run in the opposite direction. Christians run toward the place of dishonor, toward the place of humiliation. Christians run to the lowest place because that's where Jesus is, to lift us up just as He was lifted up, to glorify us as He has been glorified, but not as the world glorifies. We see in the gospel Jesus invited to a banquet hosted by the ruler of the Pharisees, or one of them. The Pharisees who were gathered at this banquet, not to hear Jesus and learn from Him and listen to Him in the lowest place, but to watch Him, to evaluate Him, to catch Him in something that He said or something that He did. The Pharisees and the lawyers of the Jewish people gathered to sit in judgment of their neighbor from their place up there on the pedestal, to the point that they would judge even the Son of God Himself. See what it is to exalt yourself. But then we see a sick man, a man with dropsy, that terrible, painful swelling of the limbs, especially the legs. He's there not to judge his neighbor, not to seek honor for himself. He's there only to seek Jesus because he has faith in Jesus to help him and to heal him. Now, where would such faith come from? The same place it always comes from. From hearing the gospel, from hearing that Jesus is good and merciful and kind, from hearing that Jesus forgives, that Jesus heals all who come to Him for healing. There he was, the sick man, before Jesus, trusting in Jesus because he had heard the good word about Jesus, knowing that Jesus would receive him. And of course, he was right. But the Pharisees who were there at the banquet, they weren't interested in this man or his healing. They didn't care for him. They saw an opportunity. Aha, a sick man. And Jesus, the famous healer. But it's the Sabbath. And our interpretation of the law is that to heal someone on the Sabbath is a clear violation of God's law. Maybe Jesus will heal him. Then we'll get him. See again how sick it is to exalt yourself, to view the healing of your fellow human being, even your fellow Israelite, or in our case, your fellow Christian, as a good thing, only because then you get to trap Jesus in what he does. Sick. So Jesus puts the question to them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remain silent. If they say it's lawful, then Jesus can just go ahead and heal the guy, and they can't condemn him afterwards. If they say it's unlawful, then that doesn't look good, and it would be awfully hard to prove from God's law that it's unlawful to have mercy on your neighbor. So they said nothing and sat back and watched and waited for Jesus to trap himself. But Jesus foiled their plan with a question that none of them could answer. Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? Of course they would. Not even the Pharisees would leave their own son, or their own animal for that matter, in a well just because it was the Sabbath day. They understood it's okay to help, it's okay to heal, it's okay to love. Love, as the Apostle Paul says, as Jesus summarizes, love is the fulfillment of the law. So Jesus, in his mercy, healed the man. And all was well. But Jesus had more teaching to do. He looked around. He saw how the invited guests to that Pharisee's house all went running after the place of honor, the highest place their banquets had, places of distinction, places that were higher than the others. Each one pushing past the others to get there first. Each one seeking the highest place, exalting himself. Jesus sees this and tells this little parable in which he shows them that instead of running for the highest place, instead of pushing past your neighbor, instead of self-centeredness and selfishness and bitter ambition, he says, they should be running after the lowest place, the place of disgrace, the place that no one in the world would want. That's the place they should be running after, because then it's the master of the house who gets to decide, come up here, I want you to be higher. If they choose the highest place for themselves, or any place but the lowest place, the master of the house, the master of the banquet might come and say, you go down, give your place to someone else. And then they're ashamed and embarrassed. What matters is not what the other guests think of you. What matters is what the master of the banquet thinks of you. And God reveals here that he thinks very little of those who exalt themselves. But he thinks very highly of the one who humbles himself, who makes himself the servant of all, who considers others better, more significant than themselves. Why? Because that's Jesus. Jesus' love for rebellious sinners caused him to lower himself down from the heights of God, to become incarnate of the Virgin Mary, to become one of us, to take the form of a servant, to become obedient to every law of his Father for us. It's that lowering that Jesus did of himself, that's what raises up sinners from the lowest place. It's just the same thing that Paul said to the Philippians. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now the love of Christ pushes us down, further and further, down to the lowest place, down to the utmost humility, where he shows us our sin, where he leads us to repentance, where he shows us that none of us deserves anything from God, and so how could we deserve anything more than anyone sitting next to us? In that place, where you know you're a wretch and you've messed everything up, where you know you're a sinner, in that place where you look around at your fellow sinners and recognize that we're all equally messed up, there in the lowest place, Christ's Spirit empties us, kills us with our pride and selfishness and arrogance, but doesn't leave us for dead. Instead, he raises us to new life in Christ. In the same way, when Jesus lowered himself to the lowest place, he didn't stay dead. He was exalted after the cross. He was raised to new life, never to die again. Paul finishes his words to the Philippians. God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There, in the lowest place, is where the superabundant treasure of God's grace is found, more than enough for everyone who has ever lived. There, wrapped up in Christ, there is God's grace and mercy, healing, comfort, strength, and forgiveness. Christ is found in the lowest place, and so from there summons us down to where he is. As long as you're seeking to exalt yourself, you're cut off from the gospel. When you stop trying to exalt yourself, that's when you hear the gospel proclaiming to you, Jesus is everything. He is your life. He is your salvation. He is your Savior. He forgives your sins. He has wrapped you up in himself and washed you in his blood in holy baptism. See how he lifts you up and exalts you through faith in him, even to the heights of heaven itself, even to the status of a saint. Is there any joy to be found in this lowliness and humility? Is there joy to be found here in this Christian church, in any Christian church? Maybe you think you remember a time when the church was a more joyful place. I understand that. But where is a Christian's joy found? The world seeks joy in superficial things, in external things, worldly things. Where is Christian joy found? Christian joy is found in only one place, in the lowest place, in the bottom. Why? Because that's where Jesus is, with all his love, with all his faithfulness, in the gutter with sinners. That's where the one Lord, one faith, one baptism is found, all wrapped up in Christ. So what has changed? Is Christ now dead? Does his blood not count anymore, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Jesus is still alive. Christ is still risen. His blood is worth as much as it has always been worth. His promises have never once failed you, and they won't fail you now. That is the joy of the Christian. Has his baptism been removed from you? Does Christ no longer clothe you through faith? Is his body and blood no longer here to give you the forgiveness of sins? Nothing has changed. All of God's promises are real and true. They're still here for you where the gospel is preached and the sacraments are administered. God's Spirit still accompanies you as his word is preached and as you take his word into your homes with you. Nothing has changed. Now Christ summons you to follow him down into the depths, to bear the cross that he gives, and to not be afraid. He who has called you to follow him is faithful. He has tied himself to you in holy baptism. Where he has gone, you must go, and it will not be pleasant in this life. But you won't go alone. He goes with you. He is with you. This life for the Christian is the cross of humiliation, but that means you're together with Jesus on that path, even now. It's the next life, the life after death, the resurrection from the dead. That's where you will find the crown of glory, the crown of life, and eternal joy in his presence. See, this is what Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 3. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. The best place for the Christian is the lowest place, because from there our exaltation, our being lifted up with Christ, is guaranteed. It's a sure thing, as sure as his resurrection from the dead. It's just that it happens on God's timetable, not ours. It happens according to God's will, not ours. Which means that we simply have to be still. We simply have to wait and trust. Be still, God says, and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take courage, and wait for the Lord. Amen. And the peace that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.